This is Jordan Seculo, ISIS utilizing chemical weapons against U.S. troops.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
U.S. forces in northern Iraq under attack. ISIS suspected of firing a mortar shell that may have contained mustard agent at a U.S. airbase. The terror group firing the rocket at the base located in an airfield about 25 miles south of Mosul. We are working on a new initiative in that area. U.S. military officials say nobody, thankfully, was injured and that there is no sign among our military that they were exposed to mustard gas.
Precautions are being taken. There is a real threat out there because there's a big offensive coming up, maybe as early as next month, to try to take back the city of Mosul, which is now being held by ISIS. It's expected to be a no-rules fight to the finish. Chemical weapons definitely expected to be in the mix, and they are plentiful. They could come from Syria.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The investigators are still looking for evidence in the bombing that happened in New York and the explosives that were in New Jersey as well. These two people that were found on the surveillance video are two individuals that the FBI very much would like to track down and speak to. They believe they may be able to help them in this case. The surveillance video shows that they took, this is the 27th Street pressure cooker. So they go up to the suitcase, they open a suitcase that's sitting on the street, they pull the pressure cooker out of the suitcase, and then they leave it there, and they take the luggage away with them.
Streets praised Osama bin Laden, his brother. Talked about Anwar al-Awlaki in Fort Hood, Texas. He talked about pressure cooker bombs and pipe bombs in the streets as they plan to run a mile. He talks about, God willing, the sound of bombs will be heard in the streets. Gunshots to your police, death to your oppression.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hi, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot in the news, obviously, this report that ISIS fighters potentially utilize chemical weapons in a firefight with U.S. troops in Iraq, which to all of us is also a reminder that though we talk a lot about an air campaign and not significant boots on the ground, our soldiers, U.S. soldiers, are in direct combat often with ISIS fighters, and they have utilized what appears to be a chemical weapons agent, mustard gas, something in the mustard agent world, and it was tested initially positive. One test came back negative, but that was after it had been exposed to the elements. Thankfully, none of our troops have had significant exposure at this point, but I think one thing we all realize from ISIS is that if they can get their hands on something that's more destructive and more dangerous, unlike maybe other militaries around the world, ISIS is not going to hold back if they're able to utilize chemical weapons, if they're able to fire those at U.S. troops. We want to take your phone calls about that at 1-800-684-3110. And when we go to that narrative, very important, because you've got in the federal complaint that was filed by the U.S. government, omissions of what was in Ahmed Rahami's actual notebook, and our dad's joining us today, about ISIS. You know, he specifically references ISIS leaders who have been killed and a term that is used for ISIS by Islamic State fighters. And that's nowhere to be found in the federal complaint, but you can actually see it in what's left of his journal, which was shot through when he was taken down by police.
So actual pages from the journal of the New York and New Jersey bombing suspect, the actual pages show the references that he was a follower of both Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Yet the federal complaint completely leaves that out. Now, you ask yourself, why in the world would you leave that out when you've got other laws that would apply on international terrorism? And the reason is, again, cut against the Obama administration's narrative. That's what this is all about at the end of the day. And it's exactly what we address in the book, Unholy Alliance.
Folks, we're also going to discuss what's happened in Charlotte and Tulsa, but obviously the unrest that has led there, and get you updated on that news. We're not ignoring that, so we'll update you when we come back from the break. I wanted to make sure everyone knew that. And folks, here it is in my hands if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope for our radio audience, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, in bookstores now by Jay Sekulow, just released a couple days ago. We need you to get a copy now. It's very important. It only counts till Saturday. So to get on those lists so that we reach more people with good information, unholyalliancebook.com.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of information to cover. The federal complaint against ISIS omits any ISIS reference. The federal complaint against Ahmed Rahami omits all of the references to ISIS in his journal. Individuals yep. linked to ISIS. And I think, again, Dad, on this issue, the importance here is, of course, we know the administration puts a lot of emphasis into narrative. This is an opportunity where actually narrative can be important when you file this federal complaint. And it's a tough, the charges against him are tough. It's not that.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of people who disagree with him being tried in a normal civilian court. And we talked about that yesterday on the show. But the fact that they're omitting ISIS, to me, it goes to that narrative. They don't want to admit that this could be an ISIS fighter who's carried out this attack, because that's what people are most concerned about. And so if they have to admit that, like they did in Minnesota, that becomes even more serious.
So just think about for a moment what the federal government's done here, what the United States Department of Justice has done in drafting the criminal complaint against the individual, the terrorist. Here's what they've done. We're going to omit the references to the terrorist organizations that, in, at least at a minimum, if they didn't direct him, they inspired him, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. We're going to omit those and treat this again as just a regular criminal matter. The fact of the matter is, although he's been charged with terrorism activities, but this is ridiculous. This is the political correctness run amok. And this is why, by the way, we are in federal court against the State Department to find out why they have omitted from their training references statements like radical jihadist, Islamist, Muslim terrorist. Why are we omitting those from the training materials of our FBI agents? Why? Because it cuts against the narrative that the administration is putting forward. I've got two things I want to say here. And Logan, I'd like to get some social media comments on this. But we are coming up, obviously, to a debate in just a few days here. And I want to go to Jordan and Than, and then Logan, get some comments on this.
Okay.
What are the sense of how all of this is playing now that we're coming into the debate and we're now under 50 days to the general election? Jordan first, then Than.
Sure. Well, I think it all ties together. There's a sense of unrest and uncertainty in our country. You have the threat from international-inspired terrorism, and I include these domestic actors like Ahmed Rahami, like the individual in Minnesota from the Somali Islamic community, as international actors because they were coordinator working with or doing in the name of the Islamic State. So, and not a domestic terror event in the sense that who they are linked to is abroad. Yep. And we know in Ahmed Rahami's case, he was making long trips to spending, you know, a year in Afghanistan and Pakistan in areas that are strongholds for radical Islamists and the Taliban. But then you can go to what's happened in Charlotte and Tulsa as well. In Charlotte last night, you've seen now a state of emergency declared in North Carolina, and the National Guard coming in to assist the local law enforcement to see, you know, during the day it's pretty quiet, but it's at night. And last night there were conflicting reports about an individual actually being killed in the protest. That person was seriously injured. They are on life support. So their life is still at risk, and they were one of the protesters. And it looks like, again, it was individual and individual, not involving a law enforcement official. But, Dad, to add to that controversy, we were told a lot that we're going to get the images. We're going to see that this individual had a gun, and that's the case. And now we're hearing that it was undercover police, so not necessarily someone you would ultimately identify as a police officer coming at you, and that the video does not definitively show him pointing the weapon. Now, whether or not it shows a weapon or not, but there are many cases in the United States, including in states like North Carolina, especially in the red states for people, where there's a lot of open carry laws that allow you to have firearms in public as long as people can see them. And that does not, you know, on its own allow a police officer to take deadly force, to use deadly force.
So what you've got right now is general domestic and foreign unrest. And domestic and foreign unrest in a time of political decision-making, which is exactly where we are right now, usually results in the party in power not succeeding, which would mean it would not be a continuation of the Obama administration. The polls are close, but then what are you hearing in Washington? But I will tell you, I've been on the road, as people know, for 4 days, and I will tell you there is a lot of concern domestically and internationally about what's going on in our country. Charlotte, a horrible situation last night. Prayers for that city. Hopefully tonight the National Guard can get that under control. But then you take on top of it the mustard gas possibility against our troops from ISIS. Then you've got the three known terror attacks. Than, how is all this playing out?
Well, Jay, I think the debate comes at an absolutely critical time, because I think now more than ever, the American voter is aware of this narrative fight in Washington, D.C. that we've talked about for many years on this broadcast. On the one side now, you have an administration that is so committed to their narrative that they are omitting key facts from this FBI terrorism report.
Unreal.
And then on the other side, Jay, there is a very real narrative outlined in your new book about how to defeat this threat. The debate on Monday is going to be a chance for each of these candidates to say which of those narratives they back. Frankly, I think that's going to be the number one issue. All of these issues are going to come in. But the timing of this debate and this clash of narratives in Washington, D.C., it's going to be front and center.
Well, you know, Logan's been saying this for a long time, that the fact is that the issue of security is the number one issue for especially younger people. But I think it is for all of us. But what's also interesting, I want to get comments, Logan, from our social media on this, and we'll go ahead and take some phone calls, is I think this issue has galvanized our country, realizing the trajectory we're on is very, very dangerous for our families, for our kids, for our grandkids. It's a dangerous trajectory. And what we've done in the Middle East, if in fact ISIS has utilized mustard gas against U.S. troops, what do you think Ronald Reagan's reaction would be? What do you think George Bush's reaction would have been? George W. Bush. What do you think his reaction would be? We know what President Obama's reaction is. Outrage. You know, outrage? Outrage isn't cutting it right now, and this is the ongoing problem that we're dealing with. But Logan, what are people saying online? Then we'll go ahead and take some calls.
A lot of people are just confused and concerned. You know, this came in from Robert, so we need to annihilate ISIS. The only way is boots on the ground. So a comment about that. And that's so. Some people say that way. Some people say you don't really need the boots on the ground anymore. You could do it with drones and things like that. So you know, it is a different war than it was maybe in 2003. And then comments also coming in. Dan wants to know, where did ISIS get the chemicals and what chemicals did they use? We don't know specifics yet, but lots of rumors out there. But it's also because they're a highly sophisticated organization.
Yep. So they could have gotten them from Saddam Hussein's regime. They could buy them on the black market. There's no doubt in my mind if they had the capability, they would utilize them. This is not al-Qaeda hiding in caves. Remember that. That's the big distinction we draw in this book on Unholy Alliance, is you're dealing with a caliphate. We don't want to acknowledge the caliphate, by the way, but we've got to destroy that caliphate. That's how you win this, by the way. Destroy the caliphate. Then deal with the Iranians as well, because all they are is a competing caliphate. So that's how I view the situation, and we call for that. End the caliphate, whether it's drone strikes, whether it's boots on the grounds. We have got to end this caliphate. And you have to rewrite the history, and here's what I mean by that. The Islamic world is viewing this whole situation through the eyes of they were the great Ottoman Empire at one time. They omit the fact that they ultimately lost. We have to rewrite the history for them so they remember, guess what? You lost in the end, and you'll lose again.
Folks, we'll continue to take some phone calls now. Let's go to Ryan calling in from Washington, D.C. on line one. Ryan, welcome to JSEC Live.
Thank you. We have to ask ourselves, where did the troglodytes of ISIS possess these mustard gas or these weapons of mass destruction, as President George W. Bush labeled them? I don't know. I have a hard time believing neighboring Islamic countries would sell them, so perhaps it is the black market.
There's a huge and deep black market on these. I mean, number one, I mean, these weapons can be acquired. That's unfortunately, but it's true. Number one. Number two, they have taken over vast areas, and they've taken over areas inside of Iraq and Syria. And this is no great shock. Bashar Assad has utilized chemical weapons against his people. So do they have the capability of finding them somewhere? Yeah. They could acquire them. They could find them. They can find sympathizers. Remember, that goes back to this whole what are they trying to accomplish. But the idea that our men and women in military are being exposed to some chemical weapons should be the topic of conversation today in dealing with this radical threat from jihadists. I mean, I'd be curious to see, as Logan monitors the social media here, what the reaction on this is. What do you think? I'm going to ask this to our audience listening on radio, to those watching on Facebook and Periscope, and to get your comments in. What do you think the U.S., if we verify that, in fact, chemical weapons have been utilized against U.S. forces in Syria and Iraq by ISIS, what should our response be? We've got a minute left here, but I think that's really important. But again, folks, we want to encourage you, and Jordan and Logan will let you know how you can get the book. But Logan, do monitor those comments. I want to see what people's reaction they think it should be.
Sure. Yeah. And folks, I want you to know, too, that there was a lot of discussion back during the Iraq war that Saddam Hussein's regime, which was the same political party as Assad's, they're both Ba'ath Party, and they were not always a perfect relationship between those two similar political parties, but that they moved them to Syria when it was clear the U.S. could invade, and so that there would not be any on the ground that would be accessible. Right. That's one idea. The second idea is that they were in Iraq. What is the definition? It's interesting. If you read the federal complaint against Ahmed Rahami, The pipe bombs are considered weapons of mass destruction.
Of course.
The pressure cooker bomb is a weapon of mass destruction. So it's also how you define this. But in this case, we're talking about chemical weapons. So the ultimate kind of weapons of mass destruction. And that's why it's important, folks. The book came out on Tuesday. We need you to purchase a copy either today or tomorrow. You can do it online at unholyalliancebook.com, or you can go to your local bookstore today. Whether it's your chain, a Barnes & Noble type store, or a smaller bookstore that you frequent, you can get your copy. It's wherever books are sold of Unholy Alliance by Jay Sekulow, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's in bookstores, and we need you to purchase this. We want to reach more people with this information. That's why your purchases over the next couple of days are so important. UnholyAllianceBook.com.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment, but I asked our audience listening on radio, watching on Facebook and Periscope, what they think the right reaction should be if, in fact, we determine that and confirm that, in fact, chemical weapons, mustard gas here, was actually utilized by ISIS against U.S. troops. I know what I think should be done, but Logan, you've been monitoring our social media feeds. We'll get some phone calls on as well. What are people saying?
Yeah, a lot of comments came in. This is from Len, who said, we need our country to show that we are strong and will protect our soldiers and our people at any cost. Mark said, it is time. It is time to destroy ISIS. Angelina says ISIS needs to be wiped off the map. A lot of comments coming in like that, just general anger and just, you know, people just saying it's time.
Yeah, so here's what you have to do, folks. I'm going to say it because we believe it, and this is the position we're advocating, and that is we've got to take decisive action. Decisive action means we've got to destroy the caliphate. That means, if necessary, you have to have boots on the ground. You have to have airstrikes. If necessary, troops have to be there. I know it doesn't sound pleasant, but that's the reality. There's no doubt we can destroy this caliphate, but we've got to do it. We can't be like the Europeans during the Ottoman era where they were letting them just march along Europe. We can't do that. We got to stop them now. It's out of control as it is. We're already seeing it. Their loyalty to these caliphates will dwindle significantly if the caliphate is, in fact, destroyed. But ask yourself this question. This administration will not even in the federal complaint link this terrorist to ISIS, and even though they have the bloodstained journal with ISIS references in it from the terrorist, they will not do it. That tells you what the administration is doing. All right, Logan, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's continue on with phones. Let's go to Pam in Macon, Georgia.
Hi, Pam, you're on.
Hi, Jay. I had a couple of points I wanted to make.
Sure.
My dad was in post-war Germany, and he went to see the Black Forest. There was still signs, and it was fenced off. It said, mustard gas present.
Yeah.
That was from World War I. That stuff doesn't go anywhere.
No, it lingers. I mean, and the lethality of this is very significant. Now, Jordan, do we have a confirmation? I know there's conflicting reports right now. Do we have a confirmation yet?
We don't have a confirmation. We do know is that the device was tested immediately, and that the first test came back positive for this mustard agent, is what they're calling it. The second test came back negative. Now, there's exposure issues there. If this was amounts, if this was weapons that were next to, it was kind of on the outside. That's how they noticed this was different than a normal mortar that would be fired at them, because it was kind of growing on the outside, if you will. And it's kind of, they talk about like a tar, so that kind of substance. And so they knew to test it right away. So there could be issues where it was left exposed long enough where you know the test came back that way. But they took the measure. Both the soldiers who came into contact with this went through full decontamination. I think that underscores how serious the military takes this. And number two, but maybe most important for our audience to understand, is that we talk all this time about boots on the ground, no boots on the ground. Understand this report. U.S. troops in combat against ISIS 25 miles south of Mosul. And we talk about the idea that we're not putting U.S. boots on the ground. The question is, are we putting our soldiers that are there in more risk by not giving them more backup and more support? So we're getting chemical weapons fired at them. And that's, again, it's just a kind of sub-story in the news.
Well, there's also reports coming out that the Obama administration may authorize another 500 troops. But this is pinprick stuff, folks. We actually can be exposing our soldiers to more and more danger by doing it this way. Then, on Capitol Hill right now, some of the Foreign Affairs Committee, what's the reaction among the committees?
Well, listen, here's the point. Even if there's only trace amounts of chemical agents on these weapons, Jay, it means that ISIS has access to chemical weapons. And I want to tie this back to the message of this book, because this is critical for people to understand. The existence of access to chemical weapons, this is the tip of the iceberg, Jay, because remember, this alliance involves an alliance with the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. So a caller in the last segment, I believe it was Ryan, said, well, how in the world could they get their hands on this? Let me tell you, they can get their hands on as much of this as they want, as long as they are in an alliance with Iran. That's what people here in Washington, D.C. are understanding. So, you know, was there enough on this weapon to kill U.S. troops? We don't know. But I guarantee you they have access to enough chemical weapons to kill
U.S.
troops.
Well, the black market on this is so strong. I mean, you know, it's not likely that ISIS is going to acquire chemical weapons from Iran because of the Sunni-Shia thing. But what Dan's saying is correct. The materials out there with other, quote, allies of these regional powers, and I don't like calling them a state, but they're right now a regional power or regional influence, so we should not take, we can't take it for granted. But the reaction right now from the administration is nothing. Zero. It's what it is. All right, Logan, let's take another call.
All right, going ahead. Let's move on. Let's go to Karen in New York.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Jay. How are you? And thank you for taking my call. I'll be really brief, and then I'm going to hang up. I would really like to know how well-equipped are our men and women that are serving right now with MOP equipment. Are they using old equipment from World War One, World War Two? What are they using? Because so much money is being taken away from them. And and I also, the second part is, what measures are the VA administration hospitals making in light of this report to take
how to
care of our men and women? So I thank you.
Right.
I don't think
Thanks,
that our
Karen.
Men and women.
Thanks, Karen. Listen, here first, our troops do have, Wes Smith, our senior military consultant, and Skip Ash was also a colonel in the United States Army, both told me that generally that they are prepared for these kind of things in the region because there's been the threats of this before. So the military, our soldiers have the proper material to protect them, depending on the scope of the lethality. That's number one. Number two, how prepared is the military VA? It's not so much the VA. It's going to be the on-site capabilities when you are exposed to this kind of weaponry and this kind of lethality. What is the on-site medic capability of the military at that point? And that's a very good question that right now we don't have the answer to, as we're waiting, Jordan, to find out even if this was, in fact, mustard gas or a derivative thereof. If it was, this has ratcheted up a whole nother level, and we need to be engaging.
And based on how this administration has kind of controlled the media, I don't believe that they would let this information out to the public if they don't don't believe that it could be. And I think it's because of the contamination, because people, I think, you know, to follow up on the caller, the idea that the VA could be involved, and that's because oftentimes exposure to this it may not immediately cause damage, but later in life. You come back from the conflict, and later in life you've got issues dealing with this, similar to like if you worked in asbestos zones, and they start coming upon you at a later point in life. So it's a full scope effort. But I will let people know that this is a significant uptick in the conflict, and we don't want to, again, I think that that's very important for everyone to understand, is that if they confirm that there's chemical weapons being used against U.S. troops, we've reached a whole new level in the conflict and the battle against ISIS.
And we need a whole new level of response from the administration. Again, our thesis, our underlying principle, the paradigm we operate under, is that we should destroy everything you can to destroy the caliphate, whether it's stopping the oil, whether it's militarily, whatever is necessary to destroy that caliphate. All right, folks, we'll talk about the book in a moment, but Logan, first, let everybody know how they can get the next 30 minutes of this broadcast.
That's right. If you don't get it on your station, SiriusXM, or some of those that carry the full hour of JSAC here live, you're not out of luck. You can join us right now on Facebook and Periscope. Great way to get your comment in, as the lines are jammed right now. You can get your comments in while you watch us during the show and during the breaks and see exclusive video content that's on Facebook, Periscope, and on ACLJ.org you can watch as well. Later on, you can get it archived on the JSAC Yellow Live podcast or the ACLJ app.
Folks,
it's available.
I'm holding in my hands too, Unholy Alliance, the brand new book. It's in your bookstores now. For those of you listening on radio and not watching on Facebook and Periscope, easy to find at your bookstore, so you need to purchase this today or tomorrow to help us reach more people. That is the goal, is that by purchasing this book and making those bestsellers lists, you reach a whole new audience with information that you agree with information that we believe is very important. Unholy Alliance in bookstores now, so get your copy today. You can get the actual hardback. You'll pick it up at the bookstore today. If you prefer, you can order online. We've got all the options for you at UnholyAllianceBook.com. That's UnholyAllianceBook.com. We'll be right back.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal. Complete and utter global domination. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now, wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now, online, at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I'm coming to you from our headquarter offices on the campus of Regent University Law School in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I've been on the 700 Club this morning. We've been handling a number of matters here. And, of course, Jordan, Logan are in our studios and our media center. Fans in our studios in Washington, D.C. If you're just joining us, I want to start with this. Federal complaint against the bombing suspect, the terrorist, omits one pretty key fact: that he was influenced, if not led, by ISIS. Every reference to ISIS or Al-Qaeda that is in the individual's, it was in Rahami's actual journal, is omitted from the federal lawsuit. And Jordan, you've reviewed the federal lawsuit, and the federal government has consciously omitted this.
Yeah, and as we're hearing this from members of Congress as well, so they're pretty upset about this idea that, you know, if the Obama administration wants to put Josh Earnest out there and say, well, it's really a narrative battle, here's your opportunity to get into a narrative battle
right.
That's clear. I mean, this is what you do. You know, you file this complaint. So the U.S. government, it appears, consciously made a decision to eliminate from the complaint the references found in Ahmed Rahami's journal. These were on him. This journal was found with him. It's why you see the images in the news, and you'll see it's bloodstained, and it has a bullet hole through it. But even with that, you can see that he uses a term that refers to ISIS, an Arabic term that refers to ISIS, but he's written it out in English letters, so you can see that. You'll also see the names of two major ISIS fighters, one who was just recently killed on the battlefield, I believe, by a U.S. drone. And so he's got references there all over to ISIS fighters. And yet, what do we hear from the Obama administration? A lot about past Islamists. Oh, you know, it's Osama bin Laden. It's Anwar al-Awlaki.
Right.
It's not the new guys who have taken the stage. Because they don't want to reference that it's not just Afghanistan connection or Pakistan connection to the Taliban, that it is Islamic State connection. And if you see his family members' social media posts, there are two of them, one of his sisters, one of his brothers, not the entire family, but one of his sisters, one of his brothers, are both posting pro-ISIS propaganda. I mean, they're basically propagandists for ISIS.
On their Facebook and social media pages.
That's right.
Right. So here's what you've got. I mean, this is, again, the administration trying to move the ball, so to speak, as the play's been already played out. We know this guy is ISIS influenced. Why are we hiding this? Why? Because they're embarrassed. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead, Logan, and take another phone call. I think we can do it before the break.
All right, we will give it a shot. Let's go to Sean, who's been holding for about 20 minutes. Sean, you're on the air in Maryland.
Hey, Sean.
Hi there. I just wanted to ask, if the Justice Department will not prosecute a case like Rahami's in a Justice Department fashion, then why doesn't the state just go ahead and do it? If they don't want to, you know, if they don't want to prosecute it as a terrorist attack and they want to prosecute it as just another criminal case, why are they even involved?
Well, here's what you've got. There are obviously state charges related to this. There could be. But the real charges here are federal charges. I mean, I think you could try these guys as enemy combatants. We'll save that for another day. But if the Department of Justice is going to utilize the criminal system, our civilian criminal system, well, then, my goodness, charge him with what he did. And let's get, if you want to beat him, as Jordan just said on the narrative, get the narrative out there that these are ISIS-led or ISIS-inspired and hold them accountable. So instead, what you're going to have is a regular proceeding with the Department of Justice. And by the way, the reports are that he is not cooperating at all at this point. And also, there's some reports that his injuries are worse than were initially stated. I don't know if we have an update on that, Jordan or Logan, on that status.
No, we haven't seen a lot more information there. Obviously, there was reports, even over the last couple of days, that he may not have yet received his Miranda rights, and some of that may be because of public safety concerns, right? Is that you don't want to rush to do that in a situation where you may have more explosives left. They, you know, obviously, a lot of these devices thankfully, were not made in a situation where they weren't all operating. And so that doesn't mean, though, the explosive's not there and that it could be triggered. And so there's that whole exception issue, and I think that's why we're not getting a lot of info. There are state charges here, but the federal government's trying to come in and prosecute this first. Folks, Unholy Alliance, you need to get your copy or copies today. Go to your local bookstore. Help us out. We want to reach more people. Here's why it's important for you to purchase a copy. I look at it like a grassroots campaign to inform people with the right information. And many of you have been involved in grassroots campaigns yourselves. You volunteered. You understand what I'm talking about. And it's the idea is that we want to reach you with this information, but then we want to reach the next group of folks who may not listen to the broadcast, who may not tune into the news every night, but if this is a bestseller and they're going through a store, they may pick up a copy. That's how you reach a new group, and you do that by getting on the bestsellers list. UnholyAllianceBook.com.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls. I am in our studios on our campus at Regent University today, and Jordan and Logan are in our media center. Than's in our office in Washington, D.C. We're going to go ahead and take some phone calls. Before we do this, I want to kind of go around the horn here. I'm going to start with Logan. On the social media side, are you seeing people saying that this issue is front and center for them? Is this kind of the sense we're getting right now?
Absolutely. That's really every comment we're getting. This is what people are even saying, that, you know, the news media may be talking about other things, but we really need to be focused on this still and make sure that people know what's going on. And then comments came in from Karen, said my husband fought in Iraq, as did my brother.
Yep.
We should never left, and now we see the fallout.
Yep. All right, so Jordan, and then I'll go to Than, but Jordan first. So then you ask yourself, Monday, are they, you know, yep, they may start with the Charlotte situation,
yep,
and the unrest, or do they start with this? But either one plays into a difficult scenario, I think, for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, what we can see, what we know and see is that how many different stories could be right front and center come debate night. When it comes to security, when it comes to feeling safe in our country, you have the Islamic terror attacks over the weekend in New York and New Jersey and Minnesota. You've got one of those attackers dead, one in custody who has, again, you were right, that has not been cleared by the doctors at the facility to do his second round of questioning post-treatment. So that there's an issue there. But secondarily, I would go to, you know, the issue, obviously, what's happened in Charlotte, what happened in Tulsa, and you've now got pretty extreme violence. I really believe, and I don't say this to be inciting myself, but that you've got Hillary Clinton, and a lot of people point out maybe President Obama as well, who kind of stoked this flame. and have encouraged this divide. This goes to her narrative, which, remember, I've been talking about for the last 5-6 days on the show, is that she's going to use broad terms to label Donald Trump like racist. It won't even be Islamophobic. It'll be broader than that. And then she's going to point to incidents like this. And yet you see the unrest that can be caused where people are being attacked on the street now based off the color of their skin. And even Hillary Clinton in her soundbite set is saying terms like white people. The idea that not Americans, but classifying everybody. This is a classic left strategy, classic Democrat Party strategy, honestly, to focus in on racial issues, especially when a candidate's having trouble getting much excitement about them in traditionally Democrat voting blocks. African-American community is one, Hispanic community is another.
Well, Than, let me ask you this, because I'm seeing on social media feeds that we're getting that people are saying, where's Congress in this? What's Congress going to do about this? So kind of what is the sense? You've got some oversight hearings coming up on some other matters, including the FBI director.
Yeah, there are some hearings yet. The FBI director is going to be back up next week. There were hearings in the Homeland Security Committee yesterday, Jay. Actually, we've got some sound from that, which might be good to play later, because the chairman of that committee, Michael McCaul, makes the link that the president won't, that clearly this attack was motivated by ISIS. The commander-in-chief at this point, Jay, still won't make that link. Congress is making that link. Just to underscore what Jordan said, this is literally the first time ever this close to a presidential election that security is the number one issue on the mind of voters.
I agree.
The first time ever that all of the polling says the election will be about security. So whether or not the moderator brings it up on Monday, Jay, the candidate who best addresses that question will win the debate.
I agree. Logan and Jordan have been saying that for a long time, too. All right. Let me go ahead and play that. Let's play that sound from the congressman.
It's clear from this journal that Mr. Rahami was receiving inspiration from the ISIS spokesman, Mr. Adnani.
So, I mean, the Congress is saying it. The journal says it. The Department of Justice will not. That kind of sums up the status of what we're dealing with in this government right now. All right, Logan, let's go right back to the phones.
All right, yes, let's go to Bill in Cheyenne.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Right. If I can make a suggestion on promoting your book, have the people call their local bookstore if they're going to go there. I went to our bookstore, and I used the ISBN number, which is easier for them to find it. They carried an awful lot of copies of the other books, but when I approached the gal at the counter, I gave it to her. She looked it up. She couldn't find it, so she had to call for help, and she couldn't understand this whole business about what's going on is so subverted that she couldn't even pronounce the word jihadist.
Well, that tells you the lack of that's well, because they don't want to use the word jihadist. I mean, certainly the government doesn't. I mean, it's outlawed in the Department of Justice training manual for the FBI. But the book, by the way, there's 40 or 50,000 copies out, maybe more, in the marketplace. And you can always go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books online. And we have a way you can do it also on unholyalliancebook.com. And you can even get a signed copy. And Logan, let everybody know we're going to do that signing event, and we'll go right back to phone calls. We're doing that signing event tonight.
That's right. Live on Facebook, on social media, you're going to find a live signing event, so like a book signing where there's going to be conversation about the book in more detail, why you sign books that are being ordered. Right there, some phone calls, some comments as well. That's going to be at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight, live on Facebook, and you can be a part of that live signing event tonight. It's going
to
be great.
And I think to underscore, too, for those of you who do frequent, like Bill does, like a local bookstore, maybe a smaller bookstore, not one of the national chains like a Barnes & Noble, which you're going to find this right away in the bestseller, in the new releases section this week, that if you do go to a smaller bookstore, a more independent bookstore, they should have it. And so you want to ask, you know, and make sure that they've got it, and make sure they've got their copy. So you could do that and help us out both ways, whether it's an independent bookstore, a larger chain, or online at unholyalliancebook.com. Of course, for your Amazon Prime members, I think if you order today, you'll have it, if not tomorrow, by Saturday at the latest. Yep. And that is very important for us because it's how we reach more people with this book. So if you agree with what we talk about, if you agree with where we are on the issues, both here at home and internationally, it's important because we want to reach the folks who may not tune in. I think you all understand why that's important, especially in election year. You've got to reach the folks who don't always tune in to the news of the day, who may just skim the headlines every once in a while. They don't follow things as closely, what's happening around the world or to our own country. We want to reach them. They still, you know, oftentimes they purchase books and they want to, they kind of take their information that way. We want to make sure that they see it in their stores. And you do that by getting on these lists. That's how you move from the new releases section to the bestseller section. You certainly, all the newspapers start reviewing the book. And so a lot more people, whether they like it or not at the New York Times, have got to, and other newspapers across the country have got to talk about it. They've got to review it and put it in their newspapers. So it's how we reach an entirely new audience with this information. So unholyalliancebook.com. Couple of days left here, folks, to help us reach that next group.
Let me just say one other thing about that, and then we'll go right back to the phones, Logan. But do you know that the making it or not make it can be as few as 50 books? I mean, a differential of 50 books can get you on a list or not get you on a list. So it's like every vote counts, every book counts. So again, unholyalliancebook.com. Let's go right back to the phones.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Mark in El Paso, Texas.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jay. I just see that our leadership is all going in the wrong direction. They got their ideas like bad math. You know, they're things. If things add up wrong, they say, "Oh, it's okay." No, it's not okay. You know, if it doesn't work on their paychecks, it shouldn't work everywhere, right?
Well, this is but this is part of the problem. You raised the issue, which is this administration will not budge. Will not budge from the narrative. Now, here's the question. They won't budge from the narrative when a terrorist detonates two bombs in New York and one in New Jersey, and they won't put the ISIS link in there, even though they have it in his blood-stained journal. They won't budge from the narrative when it may well be that our troops were attacked with mustard gas, and they will not budge from that narrative. And this is the fundamental problem with all of this. Political correctness can destroy a country. It's not just the free speech element of it. It's not telling the truth. And that is, to me, this is the biggest issue. Now, Fan, there is going to be an oversight hearing, I understand, with James Comey again, FBI director. When's that coming up?
That's next week, Jay. He has said he will attend. He's going to come and he's going to have to answer questions about all of these issues, the Hillary Clinton emails, the FBI reports on the terrorists, all of them. Jay, just quickly, I would say the clearest evidence of what the caller is saying, that was at the UN last week when the president went up and didn't give a call to arms to the world. He gave a globalist speech that was not America first.
Condemning America. Yeah. Condemning America. Yep. All right, Logan, what are we hearing on social media? And then we'll grab some more calls.
Yeah, a lot of people are chiming in with comments related to this. ISIS is being eliminated. Experts say within a year they should be diminished. That's a comment that came from Lewis. What's your thought on that?
Well, I'm going to say something and let Jordan say something because we have the same view on this. It could be done in a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've got to actually engage the enemy. First, you've got to acknowledge you've got an enemy. Then you've got to call the enemy by the name that it actually is. I wouldn't call him ISIL. I'd call him ISIS. And then I would destroy the caliphate. I'd cut off the, you know, people laughed when Trump said cut off the oil. That's exactly correct. Stop the flow of the money. That's a lot. There's a big black market on the oil, and it's going right through Turkey. Cut the oil, cut the money, put in the troops necessary to end this, and destroy this caliphate. That's how you end this.
Yeah, and I think this discussion, you know, the administration, that's all they're doing right there is passing it on to the next president of the United States. That's it. They're just saying, you know, within a year, and guess who that exempts out? It won't be destroyed until they're out of office and much longer after, you know, at least half a year after they're out of office. That exempts out the Obama administration. So they're already telling us it's not going to be done under us. And then it's ultimately about what strategy is implemented by the next president of the United States, a more aggressive strategy where he can handle this much quicker, take out Raqqa in a day, in minutes, literally, and take out the focal point, the HQ of the caliphate. Or do you go with that Hillary Clinton approach, which is more of the same, which, again, could be a year, could be 2 years. That's how they've always said it. It's passing the buck, though. We do know, that's why Monday's debate's very important, that it will be up to the next president of the United States. That this administration has made it clear they are not going to destroy ISIS by the end of President Obama's term. Yep. They have no plans or strategy to do that. Get your copy of Unholy Alliance. You can go to unholyalliancebook.com. We've got your online ordering options through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the signed copies, which we're doing a live signing tonight in this very studio, unholyalliancebook.com. Or go to your local bookstores today, the larger chains, the independent bookstores. They will all have Unholy Alliance by Jay Sekulow. Get your copy today. We need your help.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, with a couple lines open. That's 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's take one of those calls now. People have been, these folks have been holding on, so we'll get to their calls. This is our rapid fire round. Let's go right to the phones.
John from Portland, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, we can have all the good ideas we want as far as how we can deal with ISIS different ways, which all of which the current administration is going to ignore.
Right.
So first things first here. The first thing we need to do, the most important thing we need to do as a citizenry, is we need to replace them with the only viable option that is on the ballot today to be able to give us the ability to take this action. And that's where I'm at on it.
Well, now I get where you are. I mean, first of all, I think we all realize, you know, the administration is to an extent, and I say that with a caveat, because it's to an extent, John. I think you're hitting the nail on the head, especially on this issue. Let's say with just ISIS. Let's focus on that. What we do know is that while this administration may be on the way out, the Hillary Clinton potential administration, as she said, now she can change. She could explain more on Monday night at this debate, which is focusing in on national security as one of the main three topics. She could explain more how she would be different in approaching this from President Obama. But so far, she has said it's the same strategy will be implemented. So it may be a different administration, but the same strategy, which means, as you said, John, ISIS continues. For Donald Trump, though it's been clear he would be more aggressive, I think he needs to use the debate. And I'll go to Than and Logan on this. I think this is his opportunity at the presidential debate to really lay out how he's going to be more aggressive. I know he doesn't like saying we're going to tell the terrorists all of our plans. I'm not talking about troop numbers. I'm not talking about saying we're definitely going to put troops on the ground. But the ideas that he has to be more aggressive. Is it increased bombing? Is it, a kind of all-out attack from the air, which we haven't done yet, or the potential for U.S. troops? Right there is a big distinguisher between him and Hillary Clinton. I hope he picks up on the fact that we do have U.S. troops in harm's way on the ground fighting ISIS, just not many of them, you know, just in the hundreds, and that is one of the problems. But let me go to Than and then Logan.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's crystal clear we do need a new commander-in-chief. We need a commander-in-chief who's committed to eliminating the threat. I don't think Hillary Clinton can get there because she's been so tied to this foreign policy. We will see if Donald Trump will. But to make your point, Jordan, you know, there's going to be a debate about troop numbers, even though troops are already there. There's a debate going on right now about whether or not this administration is going to send an additional 500. There's a competing proposal that would send 50,000 troops. Let me say this. Don't send 500, don't send 50,000 unless you first do one thing. Get the commander-in-chief to clarify the mission and commit to ending the threat. So I hope if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton get asked that question about additional troops, they will start with that. What is the premise? What is the goal? I am committed to eliminating the threat. Then we can talk about how to do it.
Yeah, and so, and Logan, I think this is, I go back to, you know, this being an opportunity for Donald Trump. If Hillary Clinton's line to stick with is we're going to, you know, continue this air campaign and ultimately we'll defeat them and we've got a good strategy in place and maybe we need to, you know, be more aggressive. Donald Trump has an opening there, but he has to take advantage of it.
Right.
He can't just say, I don't agree with that. I'm going to be more aggressive. That's been enough for some political campaign rallies. But what does he mean by that? He's going to get pressed if he does, if he takes that. And then if he lets it pass, I think he's given up a huge opportunity to distinguish himself from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I'm worried that it's going to be the, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to get rid of him. How are you going to do it? We're going to figure it out. I'm going to get some of the best people, which has been
That's not going to be enough for
a lot of these things. And you need to go into detail when it comes to this. You don't have to drone on and bore people.
No, you don't need to tell ISIS exactly what you're going to do on day
you
one.
You could say at least a general idea of what you're implementing instead of, yes, we're just going to be better. Now, there is going to be a large group of people that go, I don't like what we're doing right now, so let's try something else, even if we don't necessarily know what it is.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I think that's
driving Donald Trump to an extent, is to reach that next level of support, I would call it, where people actually start telling their friends and family that they're voting for Donald Trump. It's not just that they might actually do it, but that they're going to tell other people, you need to do the same. And so he needs to give them that extra edge. I'm not talking about the people who are already backing his campaign. I'm talking about the folks who are in the middle, who may not be quite as partisan and don't vote along party lines. And there's plenty of Republicans who may not be doing that right now. So that's important. And to me, number two on this, which I think just cannot go without saying, is that on this very issue, remember, we've seen in the past presidents who have told the enemy a bit more. I go to, you know, Donald Trump likes using the Ronald Reagan comparison. Ronald Reagan was very clear in dealing with Iran what would happen to Iran if our hostages weren't released, and that the more aggressive steps he might take. So I think you can be tell them a little bit more. So you're letting your enemies know your days are numbered to an extent. That may mean that they become more violent for a period of time. But ultimately, I think the American people want to have this faith that the next administration will get rid of this threat. We know it can be done, but you have to have the fortitude to do it and the will to do it. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Debbie in Kansas. And if you want to call in quickly, we have enough for one more call, or if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to you, Teddy, but one more after that even, 1-800-684-3110. Debbie, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Whether mustard gas was used or not, we are at war. Take them out with airstrikes, whatever it takes.
Well, Debbie, you're absolutely right. I mean, this doesn't change for us the idea that ISIS needed to be destroyed. In fact, this is one of the reasons we advocated. We hope that this administration, and listen, we would have been the people praising the administration if they would have gotten rid of ISIS. This was President Obama's opportunity to be a serious world leader and not just downplay the United States and talk about how bad we are as a country and focus on domestic issues when we're having international terrorism attacks in our own country, significant loss of life, significant damage to people, significant harm and injury. I will say it again, and I think that this only helps Donald Trump. Individuals like Gary Johnson, I think, continue to disqualify themselves. He did another interview yesterday where he said he's glad no one got hurt in the attack. So he's totally, to me, I mean, it may be Bill Weld, who is his VP nominee for the Libertarian Party. There's reports that he's even leaving the ticket and may endorse Hillary Clinton himself. He's been more of a moderate to left-leaning. He's a former Republican governor. We will see. But I think to all of us, what that underscores, just kind of, it's between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. There's not going to be anybody else on the debate stage. No one else made the cut. Sometimes they do in the past. This time they didn't. It's going to be between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. On this issue, we should see a lot of difference. The question will be is, are the differences clear enough to the average voter? I'm not talking about all of you listening to this broadcast. I'm talking about the average voter. They've got to be able to understand, how are you saying you're going to be different? Not just in tone, but in tone is certainly important. Style is important in debates. But also substance, because that's what the news reports, you know, the written news reports will come out and say. So I think that's all, you know, plays a part.
Let's quickly take Teddy in Redding, California.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. You only got a few seconds. We're about to run out of time. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right, Teddy, we're going to have to cut back. You give us a call tomorrow.
Yeah, give us a call tomorrow, Teddy. We'll get you through if we can. I know that was kind of a last minute, and people get a little nervous when you say, we got a minute left. And we understand that, because I've only got a minute left
right now. We
got
to leave.
Folks, Unholy Alliance book, let me encourage you. This is, and again, we don't do this all the time on our show. But this week, the book just came out a couple days ago. It's in bookstores wherever books are sold, so go get your copy or copies today. What would be great is if you purchased at your local bookstore and you also went online to Unholy Alliance Book and ordered a copy through either Amazon or Barnes & Noble or through the live signing event, which happens tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you tune back in to Facebook and Periscope, you'll be able to see that. But I encourage you folks, get your copy of Unholy Alliance, and here's why. One, we want you to get informed. But number two, we need a grassroots, see of it like a grassroots campaign. We want to reach more people with this information. And we've been able to do that with our past couple of books. So we want to encourage you to help us out here and make sure that by purchasing your copy, more people will see this. It'll make that bestsellers list. UnholyAllianceBook.com or go purchase it today wherever books are sold.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at Unholy Alliance.